Official census is there are over 8 billion people in this world. 1.5 or 1.4 billion people in India alone. And then we sing a song that's the value of one. God knows each one. The Bible says he knows the very number of hairs on each of their heads. Man, God knows about you. Told you on Thursday night we had a chance to go to the prison, and there was preaching, and preaching about how Jesus loves you. There was a man from Iran sitting there with tears coming down his face. His religion doesn't teach that. It is not a gospel of love. And he was very interested in what we were talking about Thursday night. Praise the Lord for that. It's been a blessing today. Yes, good food, good fellowship, but a wonderful time on the Word of God. Really enjoyed that time at 2 o'clock, just hearing some more about what Brother Pastor Paul does over there in India and what God does through you, I guess would be the better way to say that. Again, it's been wonderful seeing a friend, Pastor Brad, again, and having him here. Brother Barkowski, why don't you come and preach to us again? More money. There you go.
Excellent. Yeah. Yep. Missionaries and money. It's all about that. No, praise the Lord. Thank you so much, preacher. Thank you so much, church. You can get your Bibles tonight to Colossians chapter 4. My wife writes a sermon, so if you like it, just tell her. She's just, you know, that's the way it goes. Right, Brother Seatman? Where'd he go? Yeah. I know his trick. Come on.
Marry a good wife, they say, and make sure she knows how to write a good sermon.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, my wife does send her regards. Thank you so much, Walker Bible Baptist Church, for all that you've done for us over the years. What a blessing. You've invested in our family. You've invested in Cornerstone Baptist Church. Essentially, you've invested in the nation of Trinidad and Tobago. And we are so, so honored to be just a small part of God's work. Amen? And it's just a privilege to see what he's done just with a little surrender. It's just amazing what God can do. So let's look at Colossians chapter 4 tonight. And then we will not preach. You know what? The sermon is going to be a few minutes long. Yeah. I'm not storying, as they say in Trinidad. When they say that they're lying, I'm not storying. Yeah. The introduction is going to be a little longer, but the sermon will be a few minutes. All right? I promise that. Colossians chapter 4, and we will have you out here much sooner than you normally are on Sunday nights. Whenever preachers or pastors start talking about time, you're like, it's like, where's the lie? Where are we lying here? Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 tonight. And most of you know a lot about Trinidad already, but if you have any extra questions about me and my family or the ministry that God is doing with us, feel free to ask. I try to be open book as much as possible. Yes, we've had other churches call and say, hey, why don't you come on staff, or why don't you come and be part of this ministry, but I don't feel God leading that direction. I need God to declare it from the sky like he did for me for Trinidad. And I would easily jump to another island or another country, but I want to make sure God is in all of that. And if God is going to have me greet the door at Walmart, then I'll see you there. And Walmart is going to get one crazy church service every single day. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says this: continue in prayer and watch, and the same with thanksgiving. Paul says, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that he may know how ye ought to answer every man. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless. Father, thank you so much for this time. Lord, as we just open your word for another few minutes today, Lord, thank you so much for the privilege to open your word, but thank you even more for the privilege of using our life to proclaim your word. Help us to do just that this week, that you'd fuel us up today for the rest of these next days ahead, that the gospel gun would just be ready to shoot to all those lost around us. In your name, I pray these things. Amen. Amazing how Paul uses this typification of a door. In fact, as you might know, a lot of our sayings come from Scripture. A lot of things we say, the world is just a great, they love to duplicate God in any possible way, right? And especially Satan, he will just copy God's entire pattern. So when the world comes up with a saying, it's usually most likely found in Scripture. The saying that has to do with the door is the fact that from whether it be from folklore or people just trying to copy what God says, that, oh, you know, when God closes a door, he opens a window. That ain't Bible. I'm sorry. It ain't there. And a lot of Christians like to even, I've heard through my years of growing up, I grew up in church. I've been in church 34 years. I've been saved almost 26 years. So I hear, well, if God opens a door for me, I'll walk through it, or I'm just waiting for God to open that door. And you think about these things, where they come from, and you find the actual source, and you realize that that source has nothing to do with what you're actually trying to say. Because here, we're going to discover for the next few minutes what Paul actually means when he talks about the door being open. Now, you can talk about doors of opportunity in your life, whatever you are facing. I understand every one of us have different struggles in life. And when I'm preaching, I'm not trying to say that any level of difficulty is different than others, because we all have our own races. Amen? But as Christians, our primary priority should be service to God Almighty. Whether it be your workplace, whether it be your school, whether it be your post on Instagram, miss, whether it be, gentlemen, your basketball tournament or whatever you have, your priority needs to be God-oriented. What are these people seeing in you, and what you say and how you say it and how you dress and how you look? Because I can guarantee they're sick and tired of seeing Hollywood. They're sick and tired of seeing Disney. They're sick and tired of seeing all these other representations. They want something that lasts. So why not make every move or every opportunity we have about the gospel? About getting the gospel out. About looking for an opportunity, about going to that prison. Man, that thrilled my soul. Thrills me. Not everybody can do it, but can you? Amen. I mean, it's just so hard to get into these other countries. We can't get in them. Well, guess what? These other countries are coming in our prisons. Yep. All you got, not just our prisons, our hotels and our schools and everywhere else. I think God is presenting a door to us. It's just the Christian's desire and determination to get to that door. Let's look at what Paul says about this. It's most likely speaking about service to him. And he talks about this throughout the New Testament. But briefly, before we go to those passages, look at Acts 28 with me, please, real quick. We're just going to give background on this passage. Paul is writing the church at Colossae. And Timothy was helping him write that letter. There's a reason Paul lists in the epistles, and so many of you have been saved double the amount of time that I've been alive on this earth. So you know a whole lot more about this than me. But you're going to obviously understand this. In the epistles, there's oftentimes Paul references another man, usually his scribe, someone who's writing it for him or traveling with him regardless. So the church at Colossae is very, very close to a location called Laodicea, also related to the Laodicean church. Most likely Colossae, which I think they're about 6 to 8 miles away from each other, the towns and villages. So Paul's writing letters to these churches that are there, familiar churches to us. But let's look at what's happening while he's writing them. Look at Acts 28, verse 16. Remember, Paul the apostle, he's brought to Rome. He's trying to get to Caesar, trying to talk to him. Do we ever know that if he got in front of Caesar or not? We don't know. That was his desire. He got in front of the king. He got in front of Festus and Felix. He got in front of Caiaphas. He got in front of all these other leaders and rulers. But look at what happened when he got to Rome in verse 16. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him. So Paul now, he's basically on quarantine, if you will. Not that any of us know what that's all about. And so he's got this soldier that's with him alone. He has to dwell alone. And look at verse 29. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concerned the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Now, imagine Paul the Apostle. Let's just pretend he's here in 2023. And he writes us an email. It's so funny to say that. He writes us an email and he's like, Xi Jinping has imprisoned me. Oh, pray for Paul. This is so terrible. This is so horrible. And he's like, no, you don't understand. This is great. We're like, oh, this is horrible. He's in prison. But as you just read here, Paul was imprisoned in a house, rent free, 3 square meals a day, a guard. It sounds like our prison system. And he's there, and you know what the man is doing? He's not writing an email to the church at Colossae saying, please pray that I get out of prison. He's not saying, I need to be able to go see my family. He's not saying, please pray, please send money, please send funds, please send this. You know what the man is saying? He's saying to the church at Colossae, pray that God would open a door for me to get the gospel to more people in Rome. And this is already a man who most likely, just drawing a picture here, he's probably got his arms chained to the walls. He's got his feet shackled. And every day they probably bring him a meal and let him eat and go on. The Romans were very cruel people. As we know, our Lord was crucified at the hands of the Romans. So Paul the Apostle is not complaining, not griping, not getting upset about the fact that he can't move his hands or feet very far. And he has zero freedom. He's limited to one house. All he's saying is that I need to witness to more people. Timothy, before you close out the book, do another chapter. Before you close out the letter, write there that to pray that God gets another door open because I need to witness to more people. Transfer that to 2023. When was the last time we prayed that God would allow us to hand out more tracts? Or let me just be realistic for a second. When was the last time we grabbed enough tracts to hand out? When was the last time we grabbed any tracts? And we're worried about why America's going to hell? Moving onward, I have a feeling Paul and his perspective to the door is much different than ours. And let's look at why. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. A lot of us would say, well, I'm waiting for God to open a door. I'm ready for it. I just need to see it. Well, sometimes it's just there, and God wants you to look for it. Maybe God wants you to tear open the drywall and actually find the door somewhere where we have put decorations over it, or we've allowed everything else in our life to cover it up. The door's there. We are just not looking. Look at 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 7, he says, for I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. It's so interesting to me how the word of God is written, and as you read through it, you've got to remember to look at the corresponding passages and keep in mind, it is not just an instructional book, it is a historical book. It is a rich historical book. He just told us that he's going to stay in Ephesus, and he says, a door is open, so I'm going to go through this door of the gospel giving in Ephesus. Turn back with me one page and look at 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 32. What happened to Ephesus? Look at this. This is mind-boggling. Verse 32. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me? If the dead rise not, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. It looks like Ephesus wasn't a very friendly place to Paul. Whether those were beasts, animals, or beasts, men, if you're asking me, I'm not going to stay in Ephesus too long. I'm going to hike it out of there. And the next chapter, Paul's saying, I'm going to stay here in Ephesus, and a door is open. It's so amazing what God's done. There's beasts, but the door is more important. Can you imagine a missionary letter from Paul? He's like, there's malaria, there's cancer, there's COVID, and I can't wait to get the gospel out. Missionaries today are like, we can't go because of this. We have a problem to witness because of this issue. Or there's this withholding us. And Paul says, there's that, but I know there's a door, so whether that's there or not, I'm hitting the road. Imagine if Americans treated an opportunity, treated a difficulty like a door. Treated COVID lockdowns like another effectual way to get the gospel out. Treated the dying of democracy as an opportunity to show people the real freedom. Because let me tell you, church, there's always a door. We just ain't looking for it. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 31. Verse beforehand, verse 31 says this. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. You are never going to look for that door that God has prepared for you until you stop looking for the doors that you want. You are never going to want to go through the opportunities that God has until you start putting your opportunities secondarily. Because let me tell you, if you don't die daily, then you cannot shout out about the resurrection of Christ. If you don't kill your own human interests and human desires first, then you are not going to want what God is trying to provide for you to do for him. Paul says that door is important. Turn a couple more pages. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I mean, we're just coming out of the lockdowns, and you know what they're trying to do again. They're trying to lock us down again and trying to do all this. I hope they try. You know why? Because I'm sick and tired of these fake churches who say they worship Jesus and close down for a little sniffly nose. I'm sorry. And if the government comes after me, I can't wait. Bring it. Put me in jail. I'm ready. Because I'm sick and tired of the fact that so many of us think it's going to be an easy ride serving Christ. It is way too easy, church. We really should take a trip to India to find out what real Christianity is all about. Look at 2 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Look at this. Paul is such a psycho. Look at him. He says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother, but taking leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. I love the fact that Paul puts the you already know the King James Bible is the word of God. But why is it? Because every single word is so detailed and so important. You know what he says in that verse, verse 12? He says, I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel and a door. You know what I see right there, young lady, young men? He didn't go because the door was open. He went, and then a door opened. He went first. He did God's command first. Then God brought him a chance to get the gospel out. You know what? Last I checked, Pastor Roy doesn't just sit at home on Saturdays and just sit around and then wait for people to call him to come and invite their children to church for the bus ministry. Last I checked, no church was ever started by the pastor sitting around and just waiting for people to come into the open doors. I think we go to the door first, or go to the house first, go to the neighborhood first, and then God says, since you're here, I think I'll open the door of opportunity. Church, you're not going to see people saved if you don't go and shoot them with the gospel gun. Uh-oh, this is on live stream. It's a thing of speech, okay? I meant the Bible. You are not going to get folks interested in your Christianity if you don't make a big deal of it. And if the faces that most of us wear is our Christianity, no wonder they don't want any of it. No wonder they don't want any of Jesus. Because if Jesus can't seem to help you through your troubles that you have, and all you still talk about is troubles to the lost people, I don't blame the lost for wanting to come, stay on the bottle instead of coming to Christ. He says, I went to Troas and to preach Christ's gospel, whether I was going to get it done or not. I went there and then God opened the door. You go and do it, whether a door is opened or not, is up to God. You serve God and show Him that you mean business, and the rest is up to His increase. You show up to church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, midweek. You do what's right and let God give the increase in your life. You give to missions. Yeah, I know there's a lot of crazy missionaries out there. I am one of them. Yeah. You give to missions and let God do the rest. Because I can guarantee you right now that if Paul's sitting right here, he's telling us that nobody ever received Christ by the church doing nothing. You've got to get off your feet. You've got to get off your comfort zone. You've got to get to the next spot that God wants you. Go back to Colossians chapter 4. We are almost nigh done. That's the good thing about women writing the sermons. They're always short. Yeah. This is great. It's always so short. Look at Colossians chapter 4 again. He says, verse 3, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, which for which I am also in bonds. Do you realize? Not only is he in bonds, that means chains, but he's in chains because of the gospel of Christ. And he didn't give up after that. So when the persecution comes, that doesn't mean that's your chance to stop. That's your chance to just ask for more doors. If you have chains on your hands and your feet, that's a good sign that you're doing something right, especially in this day and age. Listen, I'm not afraid because most of these people that are ending up in jail at the government's hand, they love freedom. And I'm realizing more and more that is just a symbolic of the Christian, and you and I have got to start realizing that if we're doing the right thing, we will have bad things come. Colossians chapter 4 tells us how to go through the door, tells us how to look for the door. Look at verse 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Verse 5 says this, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Three short things and we'll be finished. Number one, walk in wisdom. Use wisdom in your giving of the gospel. During the lockdowns, it was very, very difficult to get the gospel out, was it not? I mean, people had masks up at the grocery store. I am very much accustomed to handing a tract out to the cashier, to the post, whatever it is. People didn't want to touch it. That's how bad it got, right? You just touch it, you don't have gloves, I don't want it. So guess what the natural human reaction is? Okay, sorry, whoops. No. You go and beat that door down. Go and find a key or find a locksmith to get that key in there and just open the door, do what it takes. Put it in an envelope and give them the envelope and say the tract is clean. Go through the phone book and send them out to people. Do what you have to do. Let me tell you, you need to walk with wisdom. I had a preacher one time tell me, he said, Brad, the way people used to start churches in the 1970s will not work in the 2020s. And some of you got saved during the 1970s or were in church during that time. So you know what you need to do? We need to start using wisdom with how we get the gospel out. We need to start having the wisdom in our witnessing. We need to start having wisdom in our door opening. Because I'll tell you this, it is very difficult sometimes to tell the difference between people knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ in America. There's a lot of Christians that say, but Lord, we did miracles in your name. And by Christian, I mean people who call themselves Christians. In Trinidad and Tobago, you preacher remembers this. Trinidad, I mean, you thought it was hard enough with the word Christian being thrown around as Catholic, right? Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. I was baptized as a baby. You'll hear that in some of these strong Catholic places. In Trinidad, there's lots of Baptist churches. And the Baptists are basically just people who came over from Africa and were practicing voodoo, and they came into Trinidad, and the Trinidad was ruled by Catholics, and the Catholic Church said, no voodooism, so we're going to outlaw you. So the voodoo people said, let's figure out a way to disguise ourselves. And they looked in the Bible and saw a guy that was cast out from his community, And they said, let's pattern ourselves after him. His name was John the Baptist. So all these voodoo people now call themselves Baptists. You think about it, what it's like with these all these black African churches. They call themselves St. John, St. James Baptist Church, practicing voodooism under the guise Baptist. And a big old tall white guy shows up to start a Baptist church. You better believe I ain't just going to walk in there and tell him to come to my Baptist church. I had to use wisdom. I had to walk in wisdom. Number two, he says, let your speech be always grace and, always with grace seasoned with salt. Words of grace and salt. You know what I've learned about giving the gospel in these times? You are probably much further advanced in this than I. But I've learned that it's not just about telling them John 3:16, because that's incredibly perfect verse for people in the prison. They need to know that. But the guy who's got a nice car, he's got a nice house, he's got a nice wife and a nice girlfriend probably too, couple kids, go to good school. To hear that Jesus loves him is just like, okay, yep, another thing that makes me happy. That's grace. That's why Paul mixes the term words with grace and salt. Because guess what? Salt is not always tasty. You know what salt makes you want? Water. So Paul says, don't just give them the grace of Jesus Christ. Pour on a little distastefulness so that they realize how badly they need the water of life. You know what, church? We've got to do a better job of not just saying that Jesus loves you. We've got to do a better job of saying, and you're a sinner too. Your sin is sending you to hell, and you are on your way there, and if you don't get saved, you will be there. The cross of Christ compels you to accept Jesus' love. That's what Paul is saying. Season your words with grace and salt. It is not just about the love of Jesus, because let me tell you, TBN talks all about the love of Jesus and all about the love of their fornication as well. Season your words with grace and salt. And lastly, it says, walk in wisdom in verse 5, and redeeming the time, just like I'm doing right now, watching the time that I have. It's only a couple minutes more. Don't worry. Imagine if the Church of Jesus Christ was aware that we had only so much time left. You know what we'd do? We'd go out and buy a million tracks tomorrow. We'd buy time on the radio. We'd do whatever it took to get the gospel out, because we know there's only a few days, a few weeks, a few months. But that's, he says, I want you to redeem the time that you wasted. Redeem the time that you're using now and figure out how to funnel that, because guess what? Whether the time is 2 days away or 2 centuries away, our gospel giving should be the same strength. That's the problem with us knowing the time and the day and the hour. We'll hype up the activity just because it's a short amount of time. God wants us to live like that always. Turn to Revelation chapter 3 and we'll be finished. Looking for that door. You say, preacher, I don't know. I've been praying. I want God to use me. I'm going to college, going to university, going to Bible college, whatever it is. I'm just looking for God. Your preacher said something earlier, which I fully agree with. He said, just do the right thing. Guess what? Just get up and start kicking doors down. Just start tearing the paint off the walls to find a door. Just sign up for everything. Pastor, how can I do this? What can I do? What, Pastor, look, let me put the chairs out for you. Let me put the tables up. Let me clean the kitchen. How do I vacuum? Can I come to church early and clean the bathrooms? Let me tell you, the best Christians in the world are those who want to clean the bathrooms. It's true. Because you're looking for any door of opportunity to serve Jesus Christ. Get up and just find it. Look at Revelation chapter 3. This is the sad part about most churches. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus Christ is speaking to the church of Laodicea, which is us. It's a significant of the latest church, last church age. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. It's very important to understand he's not talking about the door of salvation. He's not talking about the door of men's hearts for salvation. He's speaking to a church. Most likely they're all saved because the Church of Jesus Christ is born again believers. But you know that English word, behold? It means look. He says, look! There's a door. And you don't even know it. And that is the problem with every single one of us Christians in 2023. We're just looking and saying we're looking or acting like we're looking. And Jesus is going, look! Look! In your life, there's a door. Young men, your school, there's a door. In your neighborhood, there's a door. Ladies, in your job, men, in your job, in your friend circle, in your this, in your college, there's a door. You're just not seeing it. God help us not be the generation of Christians that had so many doors available to us, but we didn't do anything with them and just let Jesus call them out. And we forget all about them. Let us find those doors, walk through them, kick them down, do what it takes to bring them in. Bow our heads. Father, thank you so much. Lord, thank you for heaven's door, which is Jesus Christ. Thank you for the door of opportunity of worldwide missions, Lord, but it's not worldwide anymore. Lord, it is just right in front of us. We just got to pick up our heads from our cell phones. We just got to take the screens away from our face and see the door of opportunity that you have for us with the gospel each and every day of our lives. May we walk through it. May we keep it open. May we be sure to be faithful to continue working for you. In your name I pray these things. Amen.
Appreciate that, Brother Brad. It's an opportunity. Gospel tracts on the way out of church. An opportunity. A passport. An opportunity. 1 Corinthians 15. The message. That whole world is the field. Let's all stand tonight. Time of invitation, I ask that you would, I'd invite you to come forward and just talk to the Lord and say, God, what do you want me to do with this information? What do you want me to give? There's an opportunity. What are we doing with it? Lord, I thank you for this time. Thank you for the Lord, I thank you for the men that you've brought to us today who have devoted their life, their family, their all, their resources to serving you and serving others. And Lord, I pray that we, just by rubbing shoulders with that, Lord, have a desire as we open up the scriptures here that we too could do that. Lord, I pray that you'd use our church, people of our church, Lord. Thank you for the resources you've blessed us with. Lord, help us to use it for your honor and glory. Lord, I pray that you bless this time of invitation. Maybe someone would like to just come and surrender to you. Maybe ask you that question, what can I do for you? Lord, please bless this time now. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the messages that we've heard today?